Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Our topic today, the Holy Spirit and living a holy life. It's part of a series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality that's been such a blessing to us, and I'm glad you're with us to study today. Welcome to the team. What a great series this has been.
Yes. Great.
And you know, I'm just learning how much the Holy Spirit wants an intimate relationship with
Amen.
Me.
Yes. Yeah,
to be filled with the Spirit isn't just for production, but for relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're just glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School journey. By the way, if you've missed any in this amazing series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch the whole series. There's lots of other amazing resources there that will be a blessing to you. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members. Here are just a few emails that we've received recently. You can write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. It really does bring encouragement to us, doesn't it, when we get those emails. And so here's one from Boysen in Namibia. Namibia. Anyone know where Namibia is?
Africa.
That's right. It's what used to be German West Africa, just north of South Africa on the West Coast. Boysen writes and says, writing from Namibia, I would like to say that Hope Sabbath School has been a blessing to my family.
Amen.
My wife, my five-year-old son and I always look forward to every Friday evening to study the lesson with you. My wife really enjoys singing the scripture songs too. It helps her remember scriptures. And I download the lesson outline, which I use to teach a class. Is that awesome?
Yes. Amen.
Awesome. Well, Boysen, I'm glad you're one, not only a Hope Sabbath School family, but you're a Hope Sabbath School teacher. And for those watching, if you've never downloaded the outline, it's the same one-page interactive outline that we use in our class. And you can start a group in your area and say, I want to share the Bible in an in-depth, interactive way. It's at our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. He continues, my class enjoys the studies because we use the same format that you do. May God continue using you to bless others. And I like this last sentence. We'll take it seriously. Boysen says, please pray for my family that we will remain faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I want to tell you, you're blessed to be a Christian family, and we will remember you in our prayers, Boysen. Thank you for writing to us. Here's a note from Isaac in Brazil. Anybody from Brazil? All right, wait, we've got to focus in, Juliana. Wave to Isaac. Now, Isaac spells his name I-S-A-C, just one A. Isaac, do you say Isaac in...
Isaac.
Isaac, okay. Should I say Isaac in Brazil, state of Sao Paulo? He said, I had no time to study because of work, but I made a plan with God to wake up at 5:30 every morning to study the Bible, and it has helped my day.
Amen.
Wow.
I leave home with God in my heart. We would say from our study, he's filled with
the Holy Spirit.
My life has improved after this practice. On Sabbaths in the morning, I watch Hope Sabbath School, and it has been a great blessing in my life. Thank you for bringing this message to the world. Well, I would say Isaac's onto something, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes.
Praise God. Thanks for setting an example for us, Isaac. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. One last note from the United Kingdom from Enor. Enor writes and says, I've been wanting to write since last year, but my health has continuously stopped me. Mm-hmm. I've battled with multiple sclerosis since 2007, a week after my 21st birthday.
Oh, wow.
It will be 10 years since I gave my life to Jesus and was baptized.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But multiple sclerosis has brought a lot of changes to my life, from being very active to being confined to a wheelchair. Now at 29... with this newfound reality of disability, it is a very lonely place. I love this next sentence. You know it's going to be something to do with Hope Sabbath School, right? Hope Sabbath School breaks the silence with heavenly discussions.
Amen.
Praise God.
Wow. Praise God.
From Enor.
Amen.
The faith that God has trusted me with is the sustaining aspect of my life.
Amen.
And I want to thank you. Our heart goes out to you with this physical challenge that you are facing. But to just hear your testimony,
praise the Lord,
and the faith of in Jesus is sustaining you. Amen. And you know from studying your Bible, the day is coming when God will make all things new. Amen. Today, we're going to be studying about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life. And I want to thank God for each one of you Hope Sabbath School members. But before we begin our Bible study, we have to sing our scripture song. It's our theme song for this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality, taken from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's sing it together.
Self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I was just thinking as we were singing that song, and the reason it's good to memorize scripture in song is you kind of replay it, right, when you sing it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that talking about love for God or love for one another?
Both.
It's both, isn't it? And, you know, one of the things we're learning in this series about the Holy Spirit and spirituality is love is at the very core.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit loves us.
Amen.
As the Father and the Son love us.
Yes.
And wants a life-changing relationship with us.
Amen.
And that will, God's love is poured into our hearts, Romans 5,
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit who's given to us.
Amen.
That will cause us to be more loving people. Amen. People say, what happened to you? You say, I've been baptized by the Spirit and I'm living a life filled with the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. And we're going to study today about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life. And some of us might go, oh no, not that again. You're going to take away all my peace and assurance of salvation. But you know, when you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus and you've received the gift of His Spirit, a holy life is a joyful journey.
Amen. Amen.
And we're going to go, I can't, it's amazing what God has done.
Amen.
To change my desires, to change my thoughts. And it's a journey that we want to be on together.
Amen.
With Him. Let's pray that we'll hear His voice as we study today. Our Father in heaven, we have truly been blessed in this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. We have sensed You calling us to an even more intimate relationship with You, to experience how much You love us and want us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we study today about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life, give us a clear understanding of Your truth. May the Holy Spirit Himself be our teacher. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, if you're reading your Bible, you will over and over again hear about the holiness of God. What we're going to discover today is that holy God who loves us and wants a relationship to us, with us, wants our lives to reflect the beauty of holiness. It's an amazing study. We're going to start in the prophet Isaiah chapter 6. And Juliana, would you start our study today, verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah 6?
Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, I am reading from the New King James Version. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
If you've read the story, how does Isaiah, the young, the prophet, respond to this revelation?
Woe is me.
Woe is me. You know, the beautiful thing we're going to discover is that we don't need to hide from the holiness of God, though.
Praise
because
God.
He loves us. Amen. And he wants to do an amazing work in us. But it's overwhelming to catch a glimpse, even a faint glimpse, of the holiness of God. Let's go all the way to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 8. And there we get another picture of how the angels are constantly praising God for his holiness. Nancy, would you read Revelation 4 and verse 8?
Sure. This is from the New King James Version. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
So actually that wasn't the angels, was it? It's the four living creatures there. It seems like all of heaven is reminding us, and it's almost got a praise to it, doesn't it? Holy, holy, holy. It's not just a description. Holy, 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 right? But it's this sense of rejoicing, maybe even celebrating the holiness of God. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19, where God is instructing Moses. They're going to build this sanctuary after the pattern that was shown on the mountain. And one of the most important lessons that is to be conveyed is that God is holy. Daisy? Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord also said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the entire community of Israel. You must be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy."
We're going to see that quoted later in the New Testament. Be holy because I am holy. Some of you know I like to sing scripture songs, right? And many of them are in the books of the Psalms. The Psalms, there's actually five books of the Psalms. How many Psalms altogether?
150.
150, that's right. And in one of those Psalms, we're going to see a reference to the holiness of God. Puya, if you can find Psalm 99.
Yes.
This is one that my wife likes to sing. She put to music so I could remember it. But in verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 99 and then verse 9, again, we find a reference to the holiness of God.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
It's interesting we had that word praise again, didn't we? Yeah. Praise and worship. There's this sense that it's really good news that the God of heaven is holy. So what does that mean, Stephanie, when we say the Lord is holy?
I think that's good news because that's my Lord, and I know that I can trust him.
But what does holy mean? Because there are some people who have gods that they describe them in other ways besides holy. What is meant by the word holy, the Lord is holy? Kyle?
Well, I think the word holy itself means to be set apart. So it's like he's set apart from us. He's so far beyond us in his holiness, in his otherness from
us. Okay.
that we worship
Him. But He could be otherness in a bad way, right?
I mean in a good way.
Okay, in a good way. Nicole?
I'm going to say He's pure. I mean, holy is just a pureness and a free from anything evil or bad.
And so all of perfect. Good and total absence of evil.
Yes.
Right.
Perfection.
That would be a good reason to praise Him. Daisy?
Yes. I see perfection. I just said the word I was
perfection. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfectly good. And perfectly free from evil. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get to know that that's the character of the God of heaven, wouldn't you want to praise Him?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Wouldn't you want to worship Him?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Lord our God is holy. So how is the holiness of God revealed? That's a very complex question, Jason, because it may be revealed in a lot of different ways. But talk to me about some of the ways the Lord our God is holy, the angels, the four living creatures in Revelation, holy, holy, holy. How is His holiness revealed?
So one of the ways I think it's revealed is in His love, because one thing that man naturally is not is very loving, and yet God is loving. It's something natural about Him. It's something different than us in that His love is complete and perfect.
Okay, so love, and not like us, certainly in our fallen, sinful condition, right?
Yes.
God's ideal is to restore us, that we love the Lord of God, our God, how?
With all our
heart, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. So that's the ideal to which He calls us. Okay? How else is the holiness of God revealed, Andre?
Well, in a very practical way, in His Word. To us as human beings, when we read His Word, we begin to understand His love. So even John 3:16 and 17.
Sure.
When you read that as a person that is learning the Word of God, for God so loved the world that He gave, and you start seeing these things that God has done to exemplify His love.
So the pure, can I hold it right there? Because that's profound. Part of the total goodness of God is that He loves enough to give everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yes, Daisy.
I was also thinking from other examples I've read in the Bible about He's so holy that He cannot be near sin. You know, it's like sin just is, when something is so perfect, when something sinful comes near, He's repelled. I don't know if it's repelled is the right word to use, but it's like He's so holy that He cannot be around sin.
And yet He will come into humanity.
Right.
Yes.
Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, will be incarnated, right, to be God with us. Yes. Was Jesus, Son of God, who came as our Messiah, was He around sin while He was walking on the earth?
Yes.
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 He was surrounded by it, right? But He came down to show us the way out. But you addressed the fact that holiness has a certain relationship to evil, right?
Right.
It's opposed to evil, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to see how Jesus, when He came, He hung around with people that we would naturally not think were like Him, but they liked being around Him. And He liked being around those people that were nothing like Him.
Why did He like being around sinners?
Because He came to save us.
By the way, His accusers said, well, you must be like them, right?
Right.
You must be like them because He eats with sinners. Yeah. Why did He like being around sinners?
Well,
Booyah?
That's the main reason why He came. Yeah.
By the way, how many of us are sinners?
But
they kind of classified the worst ones, you know, like the prostitutes and tax collectors, extortioners, you know. Why did He like being around them?
I think because they knew they needed help.
Okay. Right. Anybody else? Why does He want to be around them? How many of God's children does He love?
All of them.
What does He want to tell them?
About salvation.
Even if people have rejected you.
Yes.
I love you. He's perfectly good, isn't He?
Yes.
He wants to reveal His character. Where else do you see the holiness of God? We've kind of jumped to Jesus, and that's good because, you know, God's high and lifted up right between the cherubim, holy, holy, holy. But He comes, Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So where else do you see the holiness of God revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus, the holiness of God? Sean, you had another comment.
Yeah.
Go to your other comment and we'll come back to the question.
I was just going to say from a more simplistic way, in a childlike manner, you see it revealed in nature. He takes the time to describe Himself by using different figures, like how high His thoughts are from our thoughts and things like that. So it gives you that, well, I shouldn't even say upper limit, but it shows you how good He is, how He you know, reigns on the just and unjust. And that's the indication that these little things give me glimpses of his holiness.
So even in nature, marred as it is by sin,
yes,
we see a reflection of the goodness of God.
Yes.
Okay? Can I go on to the question of in the life of Jesus? Someone, Alyssa, how do you see the holiness of God in the revealed in the life and ministry of Jesus?
I think the contrast is so clear in his suffering and in his death.
Amen.
That he always put others first, that on the cross he wasn't just aware of his own suffering, but reached out to the man suffering next to him. And that he forgave those who were doing this to him in that moment. And I see the contrast so differently between what holiness is and what we'd expect a natural reaction to be in that.
So you see a contrast between perfectly good and totally free from evil, and perfectly evil and totally opposed to good. That's the battle that we see there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where else, thank you for sharing, on the cross, where else in the life and ministry of Jesus, Jason, you have another place where you see the holiness of God revealed?
I see when he was a young boy and he was in the temple, there's actually a verse in there that says he would be about his father's business. Mm-hmm. So even as a young child, he recognized that something about his life had to be connected with God, and he wanted to spend time where God dwelt in the temple.
You know, there's one other, and then we've got to move on, related to the temple. He comes to the temple at the beginning of his ministry and again at the end. Where is the holiness of God revealed there? Do you remember what he does when he comes to the temple? Andre?
Yeah, when he turning over the tables and running the money changers out of there.
He does, but what does he say? Mm-hmm. What does he say?
My house will be a house of prayer.
Yeah, you know, my house will be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a
den of merchandise.
In other words, you're saying something about God that
is not true.
Isn't true. God is perfectly good, and he abhors evil, including this extortion. Get these things out of here. That's the holiness of God, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, why did they run away? Divinity, my favorite book on the life of Jesus, flashed through humanity. Yeah. The holiness of God is revealed. How dare you turn my Father's house into a marketplace? So we've got a picture of God being holy, the angels saying, we've got two comments, and then I want to go on to why he calls us to live a holy life.
I love those stories of when Jesus healed people. I just see the holiness of God as he touches someone to restore their blindness or to heal them. Just his unselfish care for others.
All right,
just
beautiful.
That love.
Yep, and Alyssa, another example.
And when you were talking about the temple, I just thought even though he was angry and those who were doing wrong ran, the children came to him immediately and they were not afraid.
Right.
So his holiness can seem very different depending what side of
Right, it does record in the Gospels in the second cleansing of the temple that when the extortioners and the religious leaders left, the children came in and he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Yeah. You know, he blessed them, of course, in Mark 10 also when the mothers came. But even there, the holiness of God, this is what it's supposed to be. It's a place of blessing. Yes. Now, with that picture of the holiness of God, the holiness of God, even the angels are praising him for being holy. Let's talk about the call for us to live a holy life. Mm-hmm. And we know this is related to the Holy Spirit being with us and in us, right? Mm-hmm. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. Nicole, if you could read that. And we got to frame this in the context of a God who loves us and has saved us by his grace. And we see this as a loving invitation rather than a checklist of requirements.
So I'm reading 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. And this is from the New International Version, and it says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'"
So he's quoting back from that text we read in the Old Testament, right? Mm-hmm. Call to holiness. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 1. Ray, do you have that? Read verses 3 and 4 for us, please.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Holy and without blame.
Amen.
I love that little conclusion to Jude. Jude only has one chapter. But now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Because the miracles happen because of the indwelling spirit, right? The miracles happen. You say, this is a remarkable calling. Hebrews chapter 12. Jason, do you have verse 14, Hebrews 12, 14? And then I'm going to come to a question as to why a holy life is pleasing to God.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Now, if you just had that text, what conclusion could you come to? If you just had that text, what conclusion could you come to?
Without holiness, meaning we have no chance in a way of getting close to God because we're not holy.
Okay, you could be left with despair,
condition.
Which, by the way, that's not God's desire, right? Because
no.
He loves us. Despair, or I could come to another faulty conclusion.
Well, I was going to say it puts a lot of pressure on us. Like, it's up to us to be.
Right. I've got to be holy so that I can see God. Right? And that's deadly too, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I'm looking at myself rather than looking at Jesus.
Yes.
Right? But holiness is important for sure. Look at Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Ephesians chapter 5, Andre, verses 25 to 27.
Okay, I'm reading from the New International Version, and it reads, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless."
Now, did you notice something encouraging in that verse, those verses? That you think, oh boy, I've got to be holy in order to earn God's favor. What did you hear there?
That he might.
He's doing the work.
He is the one. Mm-hmm. It said
cleansing her. He's doing it.
But didn't it say to make her holy?
Yes, that's right.
Right? So this salvation is a gift of grace. Sanctification or being a holy life is a gift of grace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not for me to try harder, but for me to draw closer, right?
Yes.
And to ask to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Why is a holy life pleasing to God? He's called us to be holy, Puya. Why is it pleasing to God when he sees holiness revealed in our lives?
Well, first of all, because he is holy, and when we ask him to help us to be holy, it's like we're asking him, God, I want to be like you. Help me be like you. Every parent, they would be happy if their children come up to them and said, Dad, Mom, I want to be like you when I grow up, you know.
Well, maybe. Some of us would say, try to be like Jesus, you know, because we're flawed, but God isn't, right?
Yes. But the idea is, even at church, you know, being a youth leader and youth pastor, I'll see some young people come up to me and say, I want to be like you someday. And it is it's a nice thing to hear.
So you would say that God would be very encouraged.
Yes,
if we
very
said,
pleased.
God, I love you so much. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for the gift of your spirit. I want my life to reflect the beauty of your character.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Alyssa?
And it was the original plan when he created us in Eden. And it's what he's hoping to return us all to, as many as possible. And heaven can't run the way it needs to if people aren't living holy there.
So there's this joy, not only that I desire to reflect his holiness, but that I've rediscovered who I really am.
Yes.
I'm not called to live in darkness, right? but in his marvelous light. Kyle?
Can I go to a text?
Of course.
Ephesians 5, 1 and 2.
Ephesians. Give us a moment to find it. Ephesians, we were actually reading in that same chapter, weren't we, about the
right.
presenting us blameless. Ephesians chapter 5.
I like this text because it, in verse 1 and 2.
Verses 1 and 2, okay.
And it says...
And you're reading from which translation?
New International Version.
Okay.
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So it, to me, it's beautiful because it's the picture of God being pleased, like a sweet-smelling aroma of as we live our lives in holiness, giving ourselves up for others. That pleases him.
Okay.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Nicole?
But I think ultimately God wants to save us. He wants to save each and every one of us. And if we're living a life that's pleasing to him and that's holy, then he can save us, which is what his purpose is. So we're just kind of being the vessels to allow him to do what he wants to do with us anyway, which is to save us.
Well, without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
Right. Mm.
But I think it's important that we don't think, well, I've got to get there to be saved. But it's actually right. the saved child of God by his grace who's in a living connection. Can I say that we'll be startled at how the character of God is revealed in us? Because we know that without him, we're hopelessly lost, aren't we? Mm-hmm. So that brings me to a really important question. If God is holy and he calls us to live a holy life, how is that holiness attained? Mm. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. This is one of the passages of Scripture that's a real encouragement to me. Sean, if you have 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, let's see how that holiness is attained.
All right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God."
Is that encouraging? I imagine Zacchaeus, you know, maybe he was still alive at the time that the letter was written to the Corinthians and circulated to the churches. And it says, extortioners will not inherit the kingdom. And such were some of you. But what happened?
You were washed.
You were washed?
Sanctified.
You were sanctified?
Justified.
You were justified?
All the name of Jesus.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, it's a supernatural work, isn't it?
Amen.
That is the way. Let's look in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6 to reinforce that. Because if when we study about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life, we think it's all about focusing on our accomplishments. Nancy, you have Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And I love verse 6, but actually verse 3 is also important. So let's look at that passage together.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version, Philippians 1, 3 through 6. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ."
Amen. Amen.
So Paul, writing to the Christians in Philippi, is thankful. He's praising God, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you are, but I think he's smiling, right? God, I just want to praise you. And he praises God for two things. What's the first thing he's praising God for?
Partnership in the gospel.
That's right. That they've come to know Jesus and accepted him as their Savior. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
What do we call that when a person is set right with God by faith in Jesus?
Saved.
To be saved or justified, right? Mm-hmm. Justification.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there's something else he's thankful for. What is it? Jason?
Sanctification, that God will complete that work that he began to make us more into his image.
Yeah, that he will finish the good work he started.
That's right.
You know, one of my favorite preachers, C.D. Brooks, he said to me one time, he said, I'm not the man I should be, but I thank God I'm not the man I used to be.
Amen. Amen.
I've been changed.
Amen.
But I think he would have said, but God's still not finished with me yet, right?
Yep. Amen.
It's that journey, isn't it?
Right.
But God is the one who accomplishes it. Well, if the work of justification, being set right with God through faith in Jesus as our Savior, and the work of living a holy life, sanctification, are both a gift of God's grace, what do we have to do with it? Puya? Or can we just kind of sit around and see what will happen? Some people have said if we just sit around and see what will happen, we're going downhill. So what's our role in this process of a holy life or holiness?
I believe our role is to open our hearts daily and study more about him. Well, there's a verse in the Bible which says, by beholding we become changed.
Amen.
So as we behold upon the holiness of God, the closer we get to God and the closer we get to Jesus, the more faulty we see ourselves, the more sins we see in ourselves, and it makes us want to depend more on God on a daily basis. And with that, by having a communion with God on a daily basis and by opening our hearts to God, God will do that continuous change in our lives until he completes it. So,
you're saying there's a text in Hebrews, isn't it? Fixing our eyes on Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, fixing our eyes on Jesus because he is both the author
and finisher.
And the finisher,
right.
Or perfecter is another translation of that, of our faith. So you'd say our role is to keep focused on him.
Right.
And we get that permission thing again, giving him permission every day.
Yes.
How about every moment? What role do we play? Anybody want to add to that? Nancy?
Yeah, I'd like to add that when we're connected with him, I'm going to quote one of my other favorite authors where she says, only by love is love awakened. So when we're constantly in God's word, we are remembering how much he loves us. And it moves me when I'm reading. I just can't believe how much he loves me. And so what happens is then I want to give that love to others. It just kind of comes out. And so, and that's what he wants for us. He wants us to live a holy life because that's what he's showing us that he is.
But the what I'm hearing both of you say, which I think is really important, and I'll come to your point here, is it grows out of being focused on him.
Yes.
That desire and even the power to walk in holiness. Because otherwise I could get, well, we'll talk about some inappropriate reasons for wanting to live a holy life in just a minute. Nicole?
I think after you focus on him, though, our role is to make the choice to follow him and to be committed to whatever it is he has for our lives and making sure that we're playing out what he wants for us. And so part of that, I think, is our will to say, you have it, Lord, we choose you. Do with us what you need.
You know, there's a little prayer. My wife normally writes scripture songs, right? But she read this little prayer. And she thought, that's beautiful. I'm going to put that to music. Well, I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'm going to tell you the little prayer. It says, the preface is, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be. And here's the prayer, okay? Take me, O Lord, as wholly yours. That's the surrender, right? I lay all my plans at your feet. Use me today in your service. Notice it's not, God, I've got these plans.
Right.
You make them work. That's using God, right? Some people want to use the Spirit. You can't use the Spirit. You can choose to let the Spirit use you, right?
Yes.
I lay all my plans at your feet. Use me today in your service. Abide with me. It's that relationship.
Amen.
And let all my work, old English word, be wrought. Done, accomplished in you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
My wife said, I think you need that, Derek. I'm going to put it to music. And I sing, you know, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. That's a beautiful prayer.
Amen.
Let all of your work, and what's part of the work that he wants to be wrought, done, accomplished in us?
be like Christ.
Yeah, to be like Jesus, to reflect the holiness of his character. It brings joy to the angels and to the heart of God.
Imitators of God.
All right, consecrate ourselves to him. Well, what are some inappropriate reasons for saying, I want to live a holy life? But there were people in the time of Jesus who killed him, who were very, what would you say, conscientious about wanting to live according to the law. Something was wrong there, Stephanie. What are some inappropriate reasons for wanting to live a holy life?
To impress someone in the church.
Okay. To impress someone, whether in the church or somewhere else, right?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. Daisy?
Thinking that that's going to earn God's love.
Okay. Would that be an... you have a little one now, but she's still very small, right?
Right.
Some of you have ones that are a little bigger. How would it make you feel if your child thought, I've got to be perfect, and then maybe my daddy or maybe my mommy will love me? What would that do to you? Huh? Crushing? It's like, oh no, where did they get that idea? Right? So the idea that somehow I could earn or compel God to love me or impress someone else, what's another inappropriate reason for wanting to live a holy life? Andre?
To basically be able to separate yourself above others and be like, hey, I'm in an elite group.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to compare how I'm doing with you, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And that's at the root of all sin, which is what?
Selfishness.
Pride and selfishness. So we have to be very careful that we don't get mixed up here when we talk about, is God holy?
Yes.
Does holiness matter to God?
Yes.
Does God want us to live holy lives?
Yes.
We've got to make sure our motivation is true.
Amen.
Kyle?
I was just thinking when he said that about the story where Jesus says the Pharisee, I guess, went and prayed, and he's prayed this long prayer, but then the publican comes in and he prays. And, you know, he's just all, you know, he's repenting and he doesn't, you know, he's sad for his sin. Who goes away justified?
Yeah. Would you read that text for us? That's actually a really important one. It's in Luke chapter 18.
Okay, I'm glad you know where it is.
Yeah, verses 9 through 14. Because some people may not have ever heard that, but it actually happened during the ministry of Jesus, right? Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. This would be an example of striving for holiness for the wrong reason, right? Let's hear the story.
And I'll be reading from the New International Version. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
What's the problem with the one who's praying thus and thus with himself?
It was with himself.
Yes. A little louder, Stephanie.
It was with himself. I think that gives us one picture.
So he's praying to himself. Or maybe he's praying just loud enough so the other people can hear. What's the problem?
He's thinking that he did all this by himself, that he can be holy by himself.
And actually,
he can't. Well, it's not there.
He's proud and self-righteous.
Yeah. He thinks he's perfect.
And empty.
And empty. He goes away empty. Yeah. So what is it about this? Is it a publican? Tax collector? What is it about him that he is actually going to attain holiness that the religious person or the self-righteous person will not attain it? What is it about him? Mm. Nancy?
Well, one has the Holy Spirit and the other doesn't. Mm. You see, the Holy Spirit has revealed to the, well, they're both sinners, but the one that recognizes that he's a sinner,
the Holy Spirit led him to conviction, right?
Yes.
But not yet to holiness, maybe, because he says, I've done a lot of bad things. And you know, maybe he has, right? But he's on the path to holiness, Sean.
I was just going to say, it's hard to fill up something that's already filled versus something that's empty. God needs us to be empty so then he can fill us with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to come with anything of your, you know, so-called goodness.
So ourselves. The one is full with his own
self.
Yeah. Ray?
Yeah, I was reading once where it was talking about Pharisees were very hard on others and easy on themselves. Mm. Whereas Jesus was, you know, very hard on himself but easy on others. Mm. And sometimes that's the way I like to see it. If I'm being hard on others, you know, and easy on myself, I got to rethink the way I'm looking at my Christian growth. Because, you know, as Puya said earlier, the closer we're getting to Christ, the more we will see our faults, the more we will see the need to change, and by beholding, we will become
changed. And so the great apostle will say, I'm so glad Christ died for sinners, of whom I am the chief.
Yes.
I'm sure there are plenty of people saying, no, I'm worse than you are. But he was just admitting his need of God's grace.
Yes. Amen.
And the fact that he had grown in grace, which is God's ideal, mm-hmm. was a miracle of God's of mercy, right?
Yes, amen.
God's work in him. Andre?
You know, it requires intentional surrender to God as we ask for his Holy Spirit. And, you know, because there are areas of our lives that are difficult for us to surrender. There's areas that we don't want to surrender to him. And sometimes we need to agonize with him. Lord, I need your Spirit. And that early morning prayer that the song that your wife gave you, there's some agonizing in there.
Amen.
And asking God, do this in me and provide me with your Spirit, because that's the only way that I will reveal, resemble, or reflect Jesus Christ.
I want to go to some texts that talk about the appropriate way to pursue holiness, but it's not so we can look better than someone else. Right? It's not so we can earn God's love or his favor. We know that. Let's look at a couple of texts together in Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, and Romans 13, 11 to 14. I think we may learn something about an appropriate way to pursue holiness. Nicole, do you have Ephesians 4, 17 to 24?
Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24, and I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness.
Wow, that's a noble calling, isn't it?
Amen.
Before we comment on it, let's look at Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. We certainly see that choices are critical here. Romans 13, Juliana, verses 11 to 14.
And I am reading from the New King James Version. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed.
Amen.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, and not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
put on the armor of light that's called the armor of God in Ephesians 6. But what's important to remember about this armor of light? It's being given to us, right?
Right.
It's not something, and you make the armor of light, you know, do it quickly.
Yeah.
No, it's being given to us, but we have a choice to make.
Amen.
Yes. Are we going to put on that armor? Are we going to accept the gift? So I have this question for you. If God desires for us to make the choice to let him work in us according to his good pleasure, you still know that you're far from perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know in the Bible that the Christians are called saints? That actually literally translated is holy ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Peter says you are a chosen generation, a
holy
royal
holy
priesthood,
nation.
a holy nation. So how can we be called holy ones and a holy nation, even though, like our friend C.D. said, I'm not the one I used to be, but I'm not the person that I'm going to be. I'm in a journey. How can he call us holy ones if we haven't made it yet? What do you think? Juliana?
Well, it's not about us. It's about whether we choose to take on the righteousness of Christ. Amen. We are holy because Christ makes us holy. And when we allow ourselves to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, then when God looks at us, he sees Christ.
Okay. So there's a text that Christ lives in me, mm-hmm. and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith Amen. In the yes. Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you're saying that we can be called holy because when the Father looks at us, he sees the perfect righteousness yes. of his Son?
Amen.
Anybody else? Or does he see our potential? Or what do you think, Jason?
Holiness is a process. So there's a goal you're going to get to, which is Christ Jesus. He's the perfect example. But day by day, we grow holier as we spend time and as we commune with him. And so holiness is not just the end goal, but it's also each step of the way.
There's, I think, Jesus talks about first the blade. I saw you, Stephanie, that text. First the blade, and then the ear, and then the
full corn.
And what I hear you saying is that we can be holy gods, wholly surrendered to God at every step of that journey, even if we've got more growing to do.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And that brings us to our final text in Philippians chapter 3. And I think this is wise counsel for each one of us. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to ask Ray if you would read verses 12 to 14 of Philippians 3. Why is this such wise counsel for each one of us today? What does Paul say?
I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, not that I have already attained or am I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So there are several important lessons we could learn from that counsel, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life. God's holy. He calls us to be holy. But we don't want to try to fake holiness or make ourselves holy. It's a work of God in us.
Yes.
We have choices to make. What are some lessons while I'm on this journey, growing like the plant or what are some important things you saw in this council, Priya?
I think in the last part it said, I press toward, you know, press yourself and work.
That's an important lesson. Mm-hmm. If I'm pressing toward, what does that imply?
You're continuing to run.
You have a focus.
I've got a focus.
Goal.
Thank you, Julianne. So I'm looking, and what's the prize? It's not heaven. What's the prize?
Christ.
It's being with God, being with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That's my prayer. So I'm pressed. So I have a focus. What else do you learn in the text that's important in this process of living a holy life? Andre?
Well, right before he says pressing on, he talks about not that I've already obtained. So remembering that you've got to keep moving.
Okay.
You've got to keep going forward.
And by the way, that's good counsel for us too, isn't it? If the Apostle Paul could say, I haven't fully made it yet, what?
then you better keep going.
But isn't that encouraging?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Man, this is, he wrote half of the New Testament. He says, God isn't finished with me yet, right? Amen. So, because if I look at myself, I could always say, well, I don't think I fully reflect the character of God.
Amen.
So, I'm focusing, and I'm realizing if an apostle could say, I haven't already made it, but I'm keeping focus. What else did you see in the text that's important?
I see it says in verse 12 that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So that there's something significant there, because it's like Christ he did it for me, and that gives me the strength to press forward.
So I know who I am in Christ.
Right.
I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God.
Yes.
I know my identity and I know my focus. But there's one other piece there that's important. Daisy, did you see it?
Well, the one I saw was forgetting
the
past.
Oh, thank you.
Forgetting the past.
Why is that important, to forget what's behind?
Because Satan has a way of always reminding us that we're not worth what we're trying to get to. And it's important to know that God already knows we're not worth it, but he's willing to bring us close to where he wants.
He's already forgiven us for those sins, right?
Yes.
And he's recreating us, but I have to let that go.
Amen.
So what have we learned so far? And we're out of time, but I've got to let the past go because God's already dealt with that through his son. Mm-hmm. I've got to remember who I am in Christ.
Yes. Yes.
And I've got to stay focused, not just on a place, but a person, right?
Yes.
Amen.
What powerful lessons for us. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and living a holy life. I've been so blessed by the study today because it's not just theory. It's about our lives today.
Amen.
I want to pray with you that each one of us can experience all of the fullness that God desires for us. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, our hearts are filled with joy as we realize that you have made every provision. You've dealt with our past, you're with us in the present, and you've got a glorious future for us. And you'll enable us to arrive there by your grace. And I just want to say thank you. May our lives, day by day, continue to reflect more of your holiness, the beauty of your character, to bring honor to your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us for this amazing Bible study. I hope you've been blessed in this series on the Holy Spirit and spirituality. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for you, God's ideal for me. And I just want to invite you to let the Spirit empower you, guide you, go out in the name of Jesus and be a blessing to those around you.